Good morning and welcome to A Time of Hope. Our program are the highlights from our services last week on June 17th. The voices you will be hearing during this program, the special music is by Brenda Osterley. Our Old Testament lesson is read by Alan Chambers. And of course, our minister preaching his sermon, It's Me and You, God, is our interim pastor, Reverend Gene Mall.
We join in the prayer of the day for this, the fourth Sunday after Pentecost. O God, you are the tree of life, offering shelter to all the world. Graft us into yourself and nurture our growth, that we may hear your truth and love to those in need. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Let us take a moment of silence and reflect on our lives, on our limitations, on our sins. Gracious God, you are indeed generous. You give us the gifts of the Spirit which enable us to have so much. We forget, however, that we have been recipients of other people's generosity, believing that what we have is ours. We forget that all we have is yours. Forgive us. Help us to remember being made in your image. We should be as generous as you. Amen. The sacrifice acceptable to God is a humble spirit and a contrite heart. By God's steadfast love for us, we are forgiven of our sins.
Thanks be to God. Amen.
O Lord, open our lips.
Our mouths shall show forth your praise.
Would you please join me in the prayer for illumination? Creating God, your reign of love makes all things new. Plant seeds of confidence and gladness in our hearts, so that trusting your word, we may live no longer for ourselves, but for him who died and was raised for us, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. The first reading today comes from Ezekiel chapter 17, verses 22 through 24. Thus says the Lord God, I myself will take a sprig from the lofty top of a cedar. I will set it out. I will break off a tender one from the topmost of its young twigs. I myself will plant it on a high and lofty mountain. On the mountain height of Israel, I will plant it in order that it may produce boughs and bear fruit and become a noble cedar. Under it, every kind of bird will live. In the shade of its branches will nest winged creatures of every kind. All the trees of the field shall know that I am the Lord. I bring low the high tree, I make high the low tree, I dry up the green tree, and make the dry tree flourish. I, the Lord, have spoken, I will accomplish it. Here ends the reading.
Mark, the fourth chapter. It's the parable of growing seed and also the parable of the mustard seed. He also said the kingdom of God is as if someone would scatter seed on the ground and would sleep and rise night and day, and the seed would sprout and grow, he does not know how. And the earth produces of itself, first the stalk, then the head, then the full grain of the head. But when the grain is ripe, at once he goes in with the sickle, because the harvest has come. He also said, with what can we compare the kingdom of God? Or what parable will we use for it? It is like a mustard seed, which when sown upon the ground is the smallest of the seeds on earth, and yet when it is sown, it grows up and becomes the greatest of all shrubs and puts forth large branches so that the birds of the air can make nests in its shade. With many such parables, he spoke the word to them as they were able to hear it. He did not speak to them except in parables, but he explained everything in private to the disciples. Well, dear friends in Christ, grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. One thing about bicycling through the countryside, it's not hard to marvel at nature and at fields, about the growth, the smell of the new mown hay, or see some fields of corn and soybeans and wheat. On one occasion on a bicycle tour, I stopped at one last time on a hot afternoon. It was on someone's lawn under a shade tree, and I marveled at the large garden that was over there on the side of the lawn. Beautiful tomatoes and vegetable plants, immaculately kept and manicured. It could remind you of the story of the farmer who is admiring this beautiful field of his neighbor. And he says, George, look at how God has turned that field into something of beauty. For he remembered it as rocks and weeds. Well, yes, said George, but you should have seen it when God had it all alone. God had it all alone. See, there is something about cooperation between God and his creatures. I can remember old John Buckelman. He was somewhat over 90 years old, and I was just a new pastor at that time in my first church, and I would often visit him at home in his wheelchair as he lived with his son and daughter-in-law. He was an old German, and he tolerated, you know, talking to him in English, but he said, could you please, when we say the Lord's Prayer, do it in German? So, Vater unser, der du bist in Himmel, come out, and so forth. And some of you might know that very well. But he must have been a good farmer, willing to learn from others, because he had some very nice crops around. And he said he often stopped, and he would talk to some of these farmers about how they grew their nice crop. And then he would try it. And in time, people were often jealous of his crops and said, how did you do that? Well, but he would always add one thing. He said, nothing would grow without God's help. Nothing. See, there was a partnership. It's me and you, God, together. And this thought leads us into the gospel for today. It comes from that section of Mark's gospel where he is teaching in parables. This section will be followed by a set one where he is teaching in miracles. But now for the parables. And today we have two, and in both he compares the kingdom of God to the growth of plants. The Greek word here is for kingdom of God is basileuthou theou, translated as the kingdom of God. Let's say that together. Basileuthou theou. One more time. Basileuthou theou. There, now you know some Greek. See, but there's at least two difficulties here that we find with this phrase. The first is that in the Greek, that although basileia can refer to an area, like a country with boundaries that is ruled by a king, in other words, sometimes called the kingdom, it can also refer to just power and authority under the kings that king would have, the power and authority. So more properly, I think, we should think of the basileia as the ruling power that emanates from God. Perhaps translating the phrase as God rules or God's power. As such, it is more about our relationship being under the king's authority than just about a place. The disciples often had problems with this. They even asked Jesus at the end, are you now going to establish your kingdom, your basileia? See? And he would say, you don't understand. See, the second difficulty we have here is our complete lack of experience that most of us have in living under an absolute ruler. You know, living under the authority and power of a king or a lord or a master is really, in our country, a bit foreign to us because elections sort of wipe out whoever is in and someone else comes. So whatever the basileia of God is, it is not a democracy when we think about it. And so we have to sort of translate our thoughts into something else. So the gospel today talks about two parables about seeds and planting and sprouting and growing. And in the first one, the farmer does his part. He scatters those seeds and the seeds grow. He does not know just quite how that happens. It happens at night while he's asleep. It happens during the day. It just happens. And there is a power and a potential in those tiny seeds. And when the grain is ripe, he's called back to do his thing and harvest the crop. It's like the fields around here. We say they may not see the farmer all summer after planting until harvest time. But this parable is not just about farming. It's about the kingdom of God, about faith and about our part in it. And we see our partnership with God for that faith to grow. It's me and you, God. We do certain activity and preparation and planning, and yet there is an action that remains hidden. God provides the growth. John Bokelman was right. You know, nothing would grow without God's help. We can keep the seedbed ready for the growth to occur, but there is always that one limitation. I realize that while in the parable the sower does nothing except scattering the seed, and a real farmers in contrast to farmers in our parable spend a lot of time and energy working against the forces that might hinder the natural growth of the seed. Oh, I know there's pesticides and herbicides and other deterrents against the bugs and the weeds that are used. Fertilizer is applied to make up for the nutrients that might be lacking in the soil. Some forms of irrigation are used to provide water when the clouds don't bring enough rain. And yet even with all of the work, the farmers still wait in faith. It's a faith game. You ask some of these farmers about that. The growth happens while they're asleep, not because of their efforts. And if the rains do not come, the efforts might be in vain.
And we say even our dry times this year, we might think about that a little. See, there's a partnership with God. Paul illustrates this in a different way as he was thinking about his faith. He said, I planted, but Apollos watered, but it is God who gives the growth. So neither the one who plants or the one who waters does everything, but it is God who gives the growth. If we already have a congregation full of people sitting around and waiting for God to take care of everything, very little might happen, even here. Often our problem is not that people are thinking that their work will bring in the kingdom, but with people who are doing no work. You know, there was a church newsletter talked about this and said a preacher in the Midwest tells of a woman who came to speak of her dissatisfaction with the program in the church. And so he invited her to come to the office and talk about the problem with her, and she accepted that, and she came, and they sat down together, and she brought attention to some of the things that needed to be done and could be done. And he gratefully acknowledged the wisdom of her ideas, and he said, this is a wonderful idea. I'm glad you're so concerned and interested in this. And you are the very person this church needs to head this program, so will you take the job? And her reply was immediate. Oh, no, I don't want to get involved in that. With all of my club work and things and all the hours I put in on other things, I don't have time for that. But I would be willing to gladly advise you anytime. And his reply to this was, good gracious lady, that's the problem now. I mean, I already have 400 advisors. I need someone who will do work along with it. See, for faith to grow, we have to help keep that door open and the ground cultivated. It's like scattering the seed and putting the sickle to the harvest. There's a place for us as well. So here is another modern-day parable illustration that might help us today to sort of pull all of these thoughts of growth and faith and parable together. It talks about two brothers, and all of their lives these two brothers had lived in the city and behind some great stone walls, and they never saw outside a field or a meadow. But one day they decided to venture out of the city and go into the country, and they went walking along a road, and they saw a farmer out there plowing, and as they watched him, they were puzzled. They said, what on earth is he doing that for? He's turning up the earth and leaving deep furrows in it. Why would somebody take a smooth piece of land covered with nice green grass and dig it up? And later they watched the farmer sowing grains of wheat along the furrows. And they said, this man must be crazy. He's taking good wheat and throwing it into the dirt. I do not like the country, said one in disgust. Only crazy people live here. So he returned to the city. His other brother, who remained in the country, though, saw a change take place only several weeks later. The plowed field began to sprout tender green shoots, and even more beautiful and fresh than what they had seen before. And so this discovery excited him very much. And so he wrote back to his brother in the city and said, come on and see this again and see for yourself this wonderful change. And his brother came out and was delighted with what he saw. And as time passed, they both understood the purpose of the farmer's work. And when the wheat became ripe, the farmer brought in his scythe and he began to cut it down. And at this, the impatient one of the two brothers exclaimed, this farmer is crazy. He's insane. He's worked so hard for all these months to produce this lovely wheat. And now with his own hands, he's cutting it down. I'm disgusted with such an idiot, and I'm going to go back to the city. While his brother, the patient one, held his peace and remained in the country, and he watched the farmer gather the wheat into the granary, and he saw how skillfully he separated the grain from the chaff, and he was filled with wonder when he found that the farmer had harvested 100-fold of the seed that he had sown. Then he understood that there was logic in everything the farmer had done. So we look back at a story like that and we say, you know, we mortals may only see the beginning of any of God's works. And in the end, it may grow beyond what we could ever imagine. So don't underestimate the work that we may do to try to help the kingdom of God. The second parable also involves seed. It's the mustard seed, also considered a weed in those days. I remember some mustard plants in my father's fields that we did not like them very much. But it begins as a small seed, and those mustard seeds grew into a bush that even the birds in the air could nest in their branches and find shade and rest. And again, there is faith in what this seed can produce once it sprouts. There was such hope tied here in the first reading that we have for today. It was not just taking a sprig and growing bigger forests, but it was bringing hope to a people in exile in a foreign land. A tender sprout will be broken off, and new tree branches will grow, and their homeland will be restored. Yes, growth is a powerful illustration as we think of faith and the kingdom of God. The Basileia tu Theou. We are thankful for growth among us and around the world, but it is not over yet. Remember the partnership we have for growth to occur. These parables then are like seeds sown into our lives. And they may sprout in our lives and grow, or they may not. Ooh. It depends upon what kind of soil they land on and how prepared it is for growth. So how is your soil? Remember, it's me and you, God. Amen. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Shall we rise and confess our faith, the Apostles' Creed? I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the one holy universal Christian church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Let us pray to our Father, whose power and wisdom are far above any mortal, and whose love reaches out to every living thing on earth. Heavenly Father, we pray for the church. Continue to guide it so that it may grow in faith, and that the seeds of the kingdom of God that are planted may grow an abundant harvest, and that it might always know that you have a plan for eternity, even when this plan is hard to see. We pray that you would especially give strength to those Christians faced with persecution because of their faith. We pray for the world which you have made for us. We pray that you would guide us as we care for it. Send refreshing rains in good measure, especially in these dry times, to those who grow our food. And God of love, remember those who are in special want and need, the sick and the ill, remembering those who may be facing medical tests and surgeries, that your love will cleanse and heal their wounds and restore their lives. And, O God, according to the riches of your mercy and glory, grant fathers to be strengthened with power through your Spirit in their inner beings, so that Christ may dwell in their hearts through the faith that they, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that they may be filled with all the fullness of God as they seek to serve their families. God, give fathers your strength to steer them, your power to uphold them, your wisdom to guide them, your eye for their vision, your ear for their hearing, your word for their speech, your hand to protect them, your pathway before them, your shield for their shelter, your angels to guard them. Receive these prayers, gracious God, and those prayers known only to you. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ, praying together the prayer he taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
We're glad you joined us in this time of hope. If you don't have a church home, please come and grow with us at the United Church of Christ of California, Missouri. Sunday school starts at 9:30 this morning, with church following at 10:30. Until we meet again, may God bless and keep you.